From the heartland of America, focused on God, family, and country, the mouthpiece of the Midwest, this is Dale Carter's America.
Well, welcome back to another episode designed to irritate liberals. I mean, we don't really try and do that. It's just a byproduct of what we do. I'm Dale Carter. He's Kurt Wheeler. This is Dale Carter's America, brought to you in part by Bob Watson, Blue Springs State Farm Insurance Agent for five decades. You can reach him at 816-229-7878, 7th and Main in Blue Springs, but he's licensed in both Missouri and Kansas, so he can take care of you wherever you have insurance needs. Get a quote. Surprisingly great rates at State Farm right now, and Bob Watson's my personal insurance agent, and he will take care of you. He loves Dale Carter's America, and we love Bob. So when stuff starts going wrong, you know, when the storms come through and rip off a section of your house, or your kid takes your car out and wrecks it, you got to know that you got somebody behind you other than an 800 number, and Bob's got a great staff in Blue Springs who will take care of you. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance, 816-229-7878. This is about the time in the podcast where Kurt tells you all the ways that you can be part of Dale Carter's America.
That's me. I'm Kurt. Hi, and yes, so you can follow us. Hopefully you're watching this on video on YouTube or Rumble. It's the best way to view the podcast because we have clips and you get to see our beautiful faces and our merch and everything else. We're also on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. If you just listen to audio, I'm sure a lot of people listen while driving or maybe while sleeping. You never know. And then you can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of that good stuff.
And we do have a store now where you can get T-shirts, coffee mugs. I know Tammy Ash, who we're working with, is working on some other things. You can reach out to her directly on her Facebook page, Tammy Ash on Facebook. She puts up a lot of pictures. She works for the Chiefs and does a lot of stuff up at training camp and at the stadium. Oh, you just blew by a picture.
I don't even want to look at it.
It might singe your eyes.
I'm actually just going to pin the post
all right
to the top. Yep. So the post with our merch is now pinned on the Dale Carter's America Facebook page.
All right. And there are going to be some great events coming up where you'll want to get T-shirts, and we'll have different designs that you could get. If you really want to make a statement and you support what we're doing here, you can support us many ways. You can support our advertisers who bring you Dale Carter's America, and you can wear our colors wherever you go. Now, before we get too deep into this, and we do have a Truman County update coming up. We also have the race for the White House and some other silly stuff that's going on here. But I just pulled this off the wire. And with things that are going on in Kansas City, particularly this weekend, this really grates on me. The Virginia NAACP responding following recent research about traffic stops in the Commonwealth. According to the 2023 report on analysis of traffic stop data, Black drivers make up 19.4% of all drivers in Virginia, but they make up 30.4% of all traffic stops in Virginia. Now, how this relates to Kansas City, first of all, we've got a Fairway, Kansas officer in the hospital right now fighting for his life. He's fighting for his life because he got into a shootout with a couple of wannabes from Tennessee who came up here to steal cars, kind of like their own version of Thelma and Louise. Well, one of them got killed, and the other one got arrested, and they managed to get off a shot and take out an officer who is in the hospital fighting for his life. Fairway Chief of Police J.P. Thurlow asking for prayers for his wounded officer, and of course, we give him prayers. And the other thing I would say here, when you're pulling somebody over, if you're a police officer, somebody goes blowing by you or makes a mistake or whatever, are you thinking about, wow, how does this play out racially? Do we have the right ratio? Is there a clicker somewhere that says, okay, we're okay to pull this person over who is breaking the law because we won't be over the quota of African Americans we're allowed to pull over? I would say in Kansas City, Kurt, that they're not pulling over enough people. Yeah. How many times have you been on I-70 and had somebody blow by you at like 100 miles an hour?
Yeah. Or even like weirder stuff. I mean, in the Midwest, one of the things I've noticed that's kind of different than out east is the state of cars that people are driving in sometimes. Like, it was a couple weeks ago, I saw a guy driving near my house and his entire windshield was caved in and like all shattered. And he was just driving like normal. So, But yeah, certainly for speeding and traffic violations and things like that, people should be pulled over.
And temporary tags.
And temp tags.
Oh my God. You know, we talk about that a lot. And I've really made a game out of this. Of every time a temp tag goes by me, I look to see how far it's expired. I've seen very few of them that are actually legal. And I think what's going on with our officers is they don't want to be branded as racist.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just going to let that go.
Yeah. It's funny because the assumption that is made by making these accusations like, well, it's racist because it's disproportionate to the percentage of the population, the assumption that you're supposed to make when you read that from their perspective is that cops are like, oh, there's another black driver. Let's go get him. You know, they're like, you know, they're out there like the KKK, you know, with the white hoods and the horses, you know, just hunting down blacks for no reason. When really what's happening is actually the opposite, because now you're starting to see even black officers are disproportionately not enforcing crimes against black offenders because they know that there's going to be backlash against them if they do so. So it's actually the opposite.
They don't want to be stigmatized.
Yeah.
And I get it. But crime is crime. And I don't care what the percentages are. If there's a crime, you know, do your job and pull them over. And I get where you're coming from, and I feel for you, but I'm just saying, you know, temporary tags, whatever the case may be. And I know that there are people out there, especially those who like to divide us along racial lines, who say there's something called driving while black, that you're more susceptible to be pulled over. We got to grow up and get beyond all this shit. We really do.
Well, can we just acknowledge that if you get if a certain group is disproportionately arrested or pulled over for a certain thing, it's probably because that group is disproportionately doing the thing. So if you're not speeding, you're not going to get pulled over. If you're not driving with a temporary tag, you're not going to get pulled over. And if you do get pulled over and you comply with the police, you're respectful, you know, hands 10 on 2, license, registration, the whole deal, nothing bad's going to happen to you. It's like never happened. So, and if there are cases, it's extremely, extremely rare. So, and it's dangerous. You know, it's dangerous to, again, assume that these cops are just out here like hunting black people, pulling over black people for no reason, because what we're starting to see is it forms this mindset in people's heads where they're like, oh, they're out to get me, so I have to act first. You know, I have to, you see now there's videos out there of people like getting out of the car and they just start shooting like immediately.
Well, that happened in North Kansas City to Officer Vasquez.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that was a white guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's not even just a racial thing. It's like people have this perception that the cops are out to get you, and so something has to be done about it. You have to disobey orders. You have to fight back, you know, and that's really where you get into trouble.
Well, I don't know about the girl from Tennessee who was killed by the officer who's fighting for his life in the hospital right now. I don't know what race she was, but the girl that was arrested with her was white, so I guess it's okay. So I guess that's the way we have to look at these things. Just crazy. All right, listen, we want to thank MedicareSimplifiedKC.com for being part of the podcast. That's Kirk Doris's fantastic company in Independence that helps folks navigate the very complicated waters of Medicare. If you're approaching 65 or you've got a parent who's approaching 65, it's important stuff because they're going to hit a wall here of a couple of things. Social Security, and what should you do about Social Security? What should you do about Medicare? Because Medicare comes from the government. It is very complicated, and you want to make sure you do it the right way. Medicare Simplified KC is just that. Medicare Simplified. MedicareSimplifiedKC.com, 816-701-6661. Services provided at no cost. Fees paid through commissions associated with Medicare insurance products. Let Kirk Doris and his company jump in there and help you before you make mistakes that you cannot take back. They'll even come to your home. So call him up, 816-701-6661, on the web at MedicareSimplifiedKC.com. Also want to thank Jim Dingman and the folks there at Funhouse Pizza. Jim Dingman is all in on Truman County. He says, how can I help? I want to jump in here. So you can bet there are going to be some events coming up, and I'll get to some specifics on that when we get into that section on Truman County. But anytime you've got a celebration going on, whether it's a family reunion or a banquet celebrating your team's season, just want to hang out and have some brews and some great pizza, Funhouse Pizza is the place to do it. And obviously with the football season coming up, Jim always has contests going on at Funhouse Pizza. They're on 50 Highway in Lee's Summit. Summit, 7 Highway in Blue Springs, and they got fun in the name. So as long as you like pull your pants up, you know, and come in, you're going to be fine. If you got your pants hanging around your ankles, Jim Dingman does not want you in his place. There's a sign on the door that says, pull your damn pants up.
Absolutely.
I saw a guy in the parking lot the other day. What is the deal with that? Why do people do that? Why do they have their pants hanging down around their hips and have to pull them up?
I mean, I think it's a cultural thing. I don't really know. Right. It's not comfortable, you know. I mean, I've tried it like as a joke, you know. Every guy has done that once or twice. You know, you're joking around. You know, you wear your pants all saggy or whatever, joking around with your friends. But it's not comfortable. It's like you have to walk with like your legs a certain way so your pants just don't fall completely off. Like, why not just wear them normally with a belt? I don't know.
Well, when I lost a lot of weight with Slim for Life, you know, if I don't have my sweats tied properly when I'm going into the grocery store, there may be a wardrobe malfunction.
Well, nobody wants that.
But it's not a cultural thing, and I know that. So I'm definitely not going to do that. A couple of pictures I want to show you before we jump in here. First of all, at our house, Casa del Carter, we have a big week this week because baby Harry is turning one. He's our Shetland sheepdog, also known as a Sheltie. And I've never had a dog have this effect on me, but I love this dog, and I'm going to show off his picture. He likes to chew on Oinkies. Do you know what Oinkies are?
Is that like the
it's like a toy? Chew toy. Yeah. It's I don't know, made out of pig or whatever. But Harry loves them. He'll have one in his mouth prancing around the house, and you know, it looks like a cigar hanging out of his mouth.
There you go.
There you go. It's baby Harry's birthday. Happy birthday, baby Harry. We're getting a cake for him, hats. I mean, just acting really stupidly.
How's the hair situation? Does it get everywhere?
It does. You got to brush him. You know, and when you don't brush him, there's hair everywhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So we just brush him quite a bit. He seems to like that. And, yeah. So, baby Harry. The other picture I want to show you, I put up on our Facebook page. So, be careful with your eyes here. But this is, what is her role in the, her role in the government? This is a an ad for Bud Light moving forward after Dylan Mulvaney.
Can you do it? Why do you have to make me look at this?
Oh, come on. Come on. Who is that anyway? That's like the.
That is Dr. Rachel, using quotation marks on my fingers, Levine.
Yeah,
Assistant Secretary of Health, something or other. Like
looking
that.
Good in the bikini. I mean,
is that a real picture?
I don't know, Kurt. I got it off Facebook. Who knows whether it's real or not? But I think that bikini came from the Tuckett collection at Target.
Well, that's been up for long enough, so I'm gonna
take that down.
Exit out of that window as quickly as possible.
All right, let's talk about Truman County because there's a lot to talk about here. We live in a culture where we expect things to be done immediately, right? We live in a culture where if you watch a television show, the crime is solved by the end of the 41 minutes of the TV show. That is not going to happen in this case. And my friend John Bedoin, who is to the left of me, used to be a writer for the Independence Examiner. I'm not sure what he does now. But he reacted in a way that at first it kind of pissed me off that he had this reaction. But the more I thought about it, the more I think he might be right. So John says, the idea of splitting off Eastern Jackson County and forming our own county, it was a nutty, unorganized idea when they pitched it to us at the Examiner 25 years ago, and I cannot imagine it has any more coordination or support today. He's probably right. So for us to be on this podcast, kind of lighting the fuse and saying, we really want to do this, we're pissed, and we've got to get away from Kansas City. There's nothing in common between Grain Valley and Kansas City. We all get that. It's been tried several times. The last time it was successfully done was in 1876 when the city of St. Louis seceded from St. Louis County. So I've reached out for guidance, and I think I've gotten some really smart people involved in this thing. And meetings are going to continue, and there may be podcast episodes where we don't even talk about this. But trust me, I am working behind the scenes. And when it's time for you to put your name on a petition so that we can present it to the Jackson County Legislature, I'll let you know. But it's not going to be at the end of this episode. There's a lot of grunt work that's got to be done here, or else John Bedoin is right, and this is uncoordinated with no support, and I just don't believe that. I believe that there are a lot of people east of Kansas City who are genuinely more pissed off than they have ever been. And if we don't take advantage of this right now, it's never going to happen. So I'm going to do the work.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think if we're going to do this, we got to do it the right way. You know, you don't want to half-ass it and then it fail. And then, you know, we have to try again. And then people don't take it as seriously. You know, nobody takes anything seriously, as seriously the second time. So it's important that we get it right the first time.
I had a half-hour conversation before we started recording today with Steve Hobbs. He's the executive director of the Missouri Association of Counties. And he said he spent the weekend in Blue Springs, where I live, because his kids live there. Really good guy, took the time, didn't know me from Adam, and he explained to me what it was going to look like and the things that we needed to do. First of all, we got to decide what kind of government we want. Are we going to be a charter county? What's the border going to be? What's the assessed value? There's a lot of grunt work that needs to be done. And trust me, I've got a list of people that I'm reaching out to, forming, you know, a gray matter cabinet, for lack of a better word. And we're going to get to a point where you're going to want to put your name on a petition. And if you really want to do it, we're going to present it. And I spoke to a member of the Jackson County Legislature last week, and she didn't shoot me down immediately. So they will hear our petition, and then we'll put it on them. And if we make enough noise through the media and other ways, they can't ignore us.
Yeah. Just got to keep after it, man.
That's what we're going to do. I mean, what would the border be? Would it, you know, and Raytown's an interesting thing. Don't you live in Raytown?
I do.
Raytown is completely surrounded by the city of Kansas City.
Yep.
So do we take it with us, or does it become part of what's left after we leave?
Yeah, that's going to be a tricky one. I might have to get left behind, but I hope not. Maybe we can remap Kansas City while we're at it. But
yeah. Well, and maybe you saw this. This happened late on Friday. The Missouri auditor is getting involved with the Jackson County assessment issue. What they're going to find when they really look into this is systemic corruption and incompetence top to bottom. There are those out there who say, recall Frank White. It's all Frank White's fault. Frank's not the whole problem.
Yeah.
It's top to bottom in Jackson County, and that's what they're going to find. These assessments are an absolute joke. And one of the things that Steve Hobbs at the Missouri Association of Counties was telling me is there's something in Missouri called the Hancock Amendment, which as you continue to ramp up these assessments, you have to roll back the levies. And he says that's not being done properly. Mm. So the Hancock Amendment simply says you can't go up in exorbitant amounts on people. So there's a lot to be done on this. Hopefully the Missouri auditor is going to get involved. You have a little clip you want to play on
that?
Yeah,
let's check this out.
Past 90 minutes, we've learned the state auditor is launching an initial review into complaints surrounding the Jackson County assessment process.
We've profiled the voices of property owners for weeks who say that their assessment values skyrocketed.
Everybody's getting hit with these extraordinary bumps.
This time it went up like 41%, and I was like, oh my gosh.
We have nothing to cut back on. We're looking at the possibility of finding a place that will either just buy our house and hopefully move down to Kentucky with our kids.
I-Team reporter Ryan Takeo joins us now live in the newsroom.
And Ryan, it sounds as though the state auditor received quite a few complaints.
Yeah, and these are complaints called into the state auditor's office through the whistleblower hotline. The complaints focus on the higher valuation, sure, but that's not all.
Raised by 97.72%, I almost had a stroke.
We've heard the complaints.
Really? I mean, 60%.
The frustrated, angry voices.
That was unfair and really not justified.
And so has Missouri State Auditor Scott Fitzpatrick. Friday, the auditor said his office is investigating those complaints. In a letter to Jackson County Executive Frank White, Fitzpatrick's office highlights the complaints from property owners, higher assessed property valuations, issues of not getting through when calling the assessment department, and complaints about the company contracted to do the assessments. Quote, it is alleged that Tyler Technology personnel are making the reassessment decisions and may not be qualified to make the reassessments.
Now, we reached out to the county about this.
There you go.
Yeah, so there you go. It's a big deal. It's not the only reason that I'm raising this flag of leaving and forming our own county, but it's certainly the catalyst, I think, for at least getting this conversation started.
I totally agree, and it makes me really think when I'm watching that, you know, this is such a great opportunity for us to build momentum for this movement, because it really is one of these rare things that's just like kind of not political. It's like people are just fed up across the board with these assessments and the amount of money that's being essentially taken from them by the county. And it's just a perfect opportunity to say to people, well, hey, you know, there's this other alternative that we're working on. Like you said, it's not going to happen overnight, but it's something that could potentially be a solution in the long run. So anyone listening to this, you know, if you support this movement and you know people that are struggling with this, please share this with them and say, you know, well, we're working on something else and you know, we need to really build a network around this, because I think this is a great chance to do it. The timing couldn't be better, though it's unfortunate, obviously, that people are dealing with this.
Yeah, just believe me that conversations are happening behind the scenes, and I'm not going to give up on this. Now, you know, I've got an option. You know, when my stepson gets out of Blue Springs High School, if we don't have it done by then, I'm just going to move. I'm going to pretend like I'm in California or New York, and I'm fed up with it, and I'm just going to move to Texas or Florida. I'm going to move to Cass County if it comes to that, because I have the option to do that. Not everybody does. You saw a lot of people in that story that was on Channel 41. I mean, they're not in a position to move.
Yeah.
They just have to stand there and take it. Or what? Like one guy said, gosh, I hope I can just put my house on the market and sell it and hope it gets enough money to get me out of this. So just know that I'm working on it, and I'll update you as we have new information. Meanwhile, the Pharaoh himself has been inaugurated for a second term, and you can't make this up. He says his first priority in the new administration, working with the new council, is gun violence in Kansas City.
Yeah.
And then we had a weekend again, this past weekend. I mean, you can look it up. There was gunfire all over town, people getting killed all over town, and he's going to come with two new initiatives. The number one are both covered by federal law. You're already breaking the law if you go against one of these. And what he'll say is, well, you know, at least we'd be enforcing it on the local level, and that adds teeth to it. Bullshit. What would add teeth to it is if you had your prosecutor, who won't prosecute some people.
Yeah.
Put them in jail. And not just, you know, the penny ante stuff. Put some real teeth in this thing. Put people who commit crimes with guns in prison for a very long time. Put people who murder people with guns in prison for the rest of their life. If you'll do things like that, then I'll say you're taking it seriously. This is all bullshit, and you know, the murders are going to continue.
According to KNBC here on Twitter, it's not a video or anything, but the first executive director of Moms Demand Action, which is a big gun control advocacy group, they've done protests and been involved in protests in Kansas City and elsewhere, will introduce Mayor Lucas at his second inauguration. So he was introduced by Moms Demand Action. So it kind of shows where his priorities lie in terms of what he finds important and who he wants to associate himself with.
So. I'll bet he's going to love this. This is the California Democratic Chair of California Assembly's Public Safety Committee, Assemblymember Reggie Jones Sawyer, introducing Bill 852. Okay, you know what Bill 852 would do? It would require courts, whenever they have the authority to determine a prison sentence, to rectify alleged racial bias in the criminal justice system by taking into account how historically persecuted minorities are affected differently than others. So in the sentencing process in California, you know, if this becomes law, I don't think it has yet. It's been introduced in the legislature. Yeah. So if you're black and you commit a crime, you get a pass because of what happened in the past. The historical grievances.
Nothing to do with your crime or anything that you've actually done, but just because of the color of your skin.
Yeah.
So it is...
Why do I think the Pharaoh would be all over this?
I'm sure he would, and I would love anybody to explain why this is a good idea. I mean, seriously, let's sit down. If you think this is a good idea, send us a message. We'll have you on the podcast, and I will gladly debate you because, I mean, it's obviously racist. And more than that, it's like, when are people going to start waking up and acknowledging like what's happening? I mean, I think we are here, but this is obviously targeting white people. It's to give white people harsher sentences than black people. That is what this is designed to do. So, yeah. What are we going to do about that?
Again, it's the cultural divide between Kansas City and the rest of Jackson County. And I would love to share your thoughts if you disagree with me, like my friend John Bedoin. If you think this is a nutty, unorganized idea and it's not going to go anywhere, I mean, tell me that. If you think there are benefits to us being in Jackson County, tell me that too, and I'll share it, because right now I can't see it. And this is not a racial thing. You know, there are tons of black people in Independence and Blue Springs and Grain Valley and Oak Grove who yearn to be free just like we do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's why I was saying.
They yearn to be safe.
This thing with the assessments is a really golden opportunity. And I think crime, too. You know, people are concerned about crime. People are concerned about their assessments. And like I said, it's not a political issue. You know, we're not sitting here saying, oh, come to Truman County, it's going to be like a right-wing haven, you know, or something like that. It's like, no, we want to get away from these assessments. We want like safe communities, just very basic things, you know.
We want safety. We want a prosecutor, and I'm sure a prosecutor would be elected in a Truman County who would go after crime and criminals and prosecute. By the way, I heard Gene Peters Baker last week was testifying to make sure that detective in Kansas City stays in prison. That's where her priority is. It's not prosecuting people who are killing people in Kansas City. That's a problem. You know, our county would not be on the hook for $1 billion for a downtown baseball stadium.
Mm-hmm.
There's something to think about. So anyway, the rallying cry of Truman County right now is let's leave. Okay? It can be done. Just like replacing the roof on your house can be done. And with the weird weather we've had, you know, we had two more EF0 tornadoes in the metro on Friday.
Oh, really?
Yep. So roof damage is going to be out there, and you want somebody that you can trust. And the guy that I trust who did the roof on my house is Austin Watterson and his family at Royal Roofing and Solar. They are a local company. You don't want some fly-by-night company coming in making promises they cannot deliver on. And Royal Roofing and Solar will show you how you can turn your home into its own energy producer. Bypass Evergy completely, or whoever your power company is. 816-540-7057. Trust the people who put the roof on my house, and that's Royal Roofing and Solar. Tax credits, grants for small and rural business, ag producers too. Austin and his team are ready to jump in there and help you get that done. All right. And we also want to thank another one of our sponsors, MidwestGIHealth.com. It's not too early to get screened for colon cancer. Colon cancer is affecting Americans at a much younger age than it did before. 50 used to be the cutoff. You know, it's like when you get 50, you got to go get your colonoscopy, because if you catch it early, you can fix it. If not, and it festers, it will kill you eventually. Now, 45 is the line. And they can do it with one-stop shopping. They'll take care of you at Midwest GI Health and Wellness. They've got a facility right there in Lee's Summit. You should talk to your doctor about this. If you're approaching 45, talk to your doctor about being screened for colon cancer. And then set up an appointment with Midwest GI Health and Wellness. They're on the web at MidwestGIHealth.com. Dr. Mark Terramina and his staff will take care of you. It's a painless procedure. And you'll wake up and you'll hear one of two things. We didn't get any polyps. We'll see you in 10 years. Or we had some polyps. We're testing them. We may need to see you in 5 years. So those are the two answers that you're going to get from doing this, but you're going to have incredible peace of mind. So check them out on the web again at MidwestGIHealth.com, 816-836-2200. So the race for the White House is obviously on. And there's news about what's going on in our country. The U.S. credit score has been downgraded from AAA, where it has been for decades and decades and decades, to AA+ by Fitch, one of the organizations that scores that. Whose fault is this? Well, you know, if you're a Democrat, you trot out play number four. It's Trump's fault. That's what Joe Biden is saying. It's Trump's fault. He says that, you know, the fact that Republicans are playing politics with the debt limit and all that, it's Trump's fault.
I'm surprised that it's as high as this, honestly. I mean, it still sounds pretty good. Well, AA+ instead of AAA. I mean, that doesn't seem correct to me, but I don't know. What do I know?
We're approaching $33 trillion in debt. And the correct answer to this is it is Trump's fault. It's Biden's fault. It's Obama's fault. It's George W. Bush's fault, right? The last time that we had a surplus, now there's two different things at play here, and a lot of times they get used interchangeably. There's the deficit and the debt, and those are two separate things. The debt is the money that we borrowed. The deficit is our inability to pay our bills after all the tax money comes in. And by the way, tax money coming into the government is at a record pace.
Oh, yeah.
This is not a money problem. This is a spending problem. And we've said this many times on this podcast. Democrats are running toward the cliff at light speed, and Republicans are driving to the cliff at the speed limit. They're both guilty. Both parties are guilty. All the presidents who've overseen this are guilty. And at some point, they got to pull the reins back.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It's definitely bipartisan, and, you know, something's got to be done about it, but who's going to do it? It's unpopular. Every Republican campaigns, you know, we gave the full of shit award to Ron DeSantis
right.
a few weeks ago because he's like, I'm cutting the Department of Energy, the Department of Education, you know, the whatever. And every Republican, not every, but many Republicans campaign on doing that, and then none of them actually do it. So we have to start holding these people accountable, specifically in Congress, because they have the power of the purse. And when we have majorities in Congress, which is so rare these days, we have to actually hold these people to account. But it's just, it's tough. We'll see.
Gas prices headed for $4 a gallon again. Remember, that's Putin's fault, right? That came from Joey. It's Putin's fault that we've got $4 a gallon gasoline again. Could be the Saudis at fault here because the Saudis are cutting production by 1 million barrels a day. They know they've got us by the short hairs because they've got an idiot in the White House who, faced with all this, what he should have done, what Joe Manchin told him to do, was, you know, an all-in energy policy. Get energy from every place you can get it. Get the United States back to being an independent energy producer again, like we were when Donald Trump was president, and knock off all this stuff. You know, cut back on some of this green energy stuff and all that. You can still talk about it, but you can't really do it because it's not working. So what does work? What does work is an all-in energy policy. What Joe Biden did and what the Saudis were probably laughing hysterically behind closed doors, what did he do? He went to the Strategic Reserve. And now our Strategic Reserve that we need in case China decides to go to war with us or we get into a shooting war with Russia, that's the reserve we need to fuel our airplanes and our ships and all that. He's like decimated the Strategic Reserve. It's down to a point, it's at a dangerous level. It's at the lowest level it's been probably ever since they had a Strategic Reserve. And now the Saudis, Kurt, they know that they've got us by the short hairs.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is they're reducing their output to try and get a higher price. And so what that means to you at the pump is at least $4 a gallon.
And just think about, too, like what kind of leverage that means, not only for prices, but just for global like dominance. You know, I mean, if another country controls your resources, controls your energy, then they essentially control your productivity. I mean, they can decide at any time that they don't want to provide you with that energy anymore or they want to provide you with less so that the price goes up. And there's nothing you can do about it. So that's the main reason why we should be producing this stuff domestically in America.
Whoever wins the presidency next year, that needs to be the first order of business. An executive order. I mean, I hate executive orders, but sign a damn executive order for an all-in energy policy to get this country back to energy independence and shelve this Green New Deal bullshit for another day. I mean, I think this country is so much better off when you've got the left wing out there, like John Kerry and people like him, shouting about global warming, it's the end of the world as we know it, but they don't have any power. When they have power, that's when we have a problem. And we have a problem right now. And, you know, Joey B says 67% of all vehicles on the road in 9 years, by the way, just 9 short years, are going to be the electric variety. Won't that be a panacea? Well, Tesla now has been sued over inflated claims on range per charge. Okay. Well, there's major differences, whether you're in the mountains or a valley, mm-hmm. whether it's really hot or really cold. Now, the good news is when we finally get everybody driving these electric cars, Kurt, it's going to be 75 for the high every day, upper 60s for the low, and we'll get just the right amount of rain.
Yeah.
It's going to fix everything.
No, yeah. It'll fix it all overnight. We'll have the best weather ever. It'll be like San Diego every day, everywhere.
You know, there was a time in this country when most Americans had a pretty good bullshit detector mm-hmm. and could detect all this stuff. I think our bullshit detector's gone away.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we just keep getting fed this stuff, and it's like, oh, yeah, Joey says this, Joey says that. Next thing you know, we're not energy independent. Next thing you know, the Saudis got us by the short hairs. China's licking their chops. Russia's licking their chops. And where are we? We've got Joey B.
Well, I think it's like a slow drip. It's a slow burn. You know, this stuff doesn't happen overnight. You don't eliminate people's common sense overnight. You don't eliminate, even in this specific example, gas usage overnight. It takes a long time of scaring people into thinking that the world is going to end to get them to comply. Same thing with COVID. You know, I mean, it didn't happen overnight. So I think that's really where the problem lies, is in like the slow drip of the culture. And it's in Hollywood, it's in the schools, it's in the media. And so that's what we have to overcome if we want to fight against that narrative, because they're winning in that rut.
Well, speaking
aspect.
Of a slow drip, Joe Biden took his umpteenth vacation to his beach house in Delaware, where, as the poorest man in the Senate, he has a multi-million-dollar beach house, and nobody will, you know, ask the question, where did you get the money? But do you have the clip of him, like, bending over and setting up his chair? I mean, it's just scary.
I could try and find
this clip, but is him just kind of sitting by the beach, old man reading a book. On vacation.
Well, there's the shirtless one too. That's always good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm sure this makes the Chinese and the Russians quiver in their boots. There's our guy, Joey B.
Oh yeah, what a hunk.
Yeah, I saw a clip though where he was like setting up his chair, and it just I just felt bad for the guy. He's an 80-year-old man, and there are degrees of 80-year-old men, by the way. I got a friend named Gary out in Blue Springs who just turned 80, who looks great. Still can speak in clear sentences. And then you got Joey B, who is a very old 80 years old. Is this the one?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that's probably not it either. I mean, just you can probably find it on your own, but it's like he's setting up his chair and it looks pathetic. He does not look like a virile man who's ready to lead this country for another 4 years.
Yeah, can you believe it?
Ah, it's just crazy. And then you've got Donald Trump back in D.C. He was in D.C. while the president was actually in his beach chair in Delaware, and he was facing yet another indictment. And Trump handles it like Trump. I mean, you know, I'm not a huge Trump fan, you know that, but I think this clip is worth playing.
Is this? I'm not sure if this is the right clip or not, This is just him talking about it, so we'll play it.
Thank you very much. This is a very sad day for America, and it was also very sad driving through Washington, D.C. and seeing the filth and the decay and all of the broken buildings and walls and the graffiti. This is not the place that I left. It's a very sad thing to see it. When you look at what's happening, this is a persecution of a political opponent. This was never supposed to happen in America. This is the persecution of the person that's leading by very, very substantial numbers in the Republican primary and leading Biden by a lot. So if you can't beat him, you persecute him or you prosecute him. We can't let this happen in America. Thank you very much, everybody.
Well, what he said was he was like one indictment away from winning the presidency. Look at that. He's even got his name on his umbrella. He's got his name on his plane. You know, what an interesting time that we live in. You know,
did you see the tweet from Anthony Blinken that went viral?
I did not.
Persecuting political opponents.
Is it tweet now? I thought it was X.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's X.
It's an X, not a tweet.
Yeah. Yeah. Check this out.
Read that.
This is Secretary of State, right?
Right.
Anthony Blinken. The United States strongly condemns Russia's conviction of opposition leader Alexei Navalny on politically motivated charges. The Kremlin cannot silence the truth. Navalny should be released.
Wow, that's ironic.
I mean, talk about the pot calling the kettle black. I mean, it's, you know, people, it's like we're becoming a third world country. And it's interesting because you have these leaders of the administration calling out Russia, calling out China sometimes, or whatever the supposed bad guy is in the world. You know, they're silencing their political opponents. Yeah. They're throwing their political opponents in jail. We're doing the same thing. Look, I mean, there's people who are still awaiting trial for January 6th who didn't break anything, didn't, you know, do anything violent, and they've been in solitary confinement for going on 3 years now. We absolutely do the same thing. And now they're trying to jail Trump too. And it's just, it's so obvious at this point to anyone who's paying attention.
And we talked about, you know, how he got impeached the first time for making the phone call and saying, hey, you might want to look into this thing with Biden and this prosecutor and all that. And that's really all he said. And he got impeached over it because we don't go after political opponents in this country, the Democrats said. Yeah. And they've done what they've done. They continue to do what they do. It's just hypocrisy at a very high level.
No, it doesn't count here because Trump is bad and orange, and he deserves it.
Trump bad. Play number four. Blame it on Trump. The future of both parties will be on display. I'm not sure we have a date on this, but Ron DeSantis and Gavin Newsom have agreed to debate on Fox News Channel. And I love this. Because it's not Biden the old man, Biden maybe the corrupt politician, Trump did this, Trump did that, he's indicted 16 ways from Saturday. It's how's Florida doing versus how's California doing?
Yeah.
That's the debate that I want to see. And I think that's the debate for the future. When you talk about policy, what are the right policies moving forward? Is California the model we want or is Florida the model we want? And I'll have that debate every day.
I agree. I think that it would be great for these two to debate. And I was looking this up last night in preparation for the show. There appears to be an update that I can read. This guy, Ed Krasenstein, is a big lib on Twitter, or X. I'm going to keep calling it Twitter. Nobody's calling it X. Let's be honest. So what he said, this is as of yesterday sometime, after it appeared as though Ron DeSantis agreed to debate Gavin Newsom in a Fox News Sean Hannity moderated debate, it now appears that DeSantis and Newsom are not agreeing on some details.
All right.
Gavin Newsom's spokesperson said DeSantis's counter proposal is littered with crutches to hide his insecurity and ineptitude, swapping opening statements with a hype video, cutting down the time he needs to be on stage, adding cheat notes and a cheering section. Ron should be able to stand on his own 2 feet. It's no wonder Trump is kicking his ass. The key problems DeSantis has are that he wants no opening remarks. He'd rather both men provide a 2-minute video to make the case for their growing governing philosophy in place of opening statements. Newsom wants the debate to take place in an empty room. DeSantis wants a live audience, blah, blah, blah. So they're
so it's not going to happen.
They're already bickering about the terms. So
Because I'd love to see it, and I think it would get a big number, and I think that is going to be the future of both the Democrat and the Republican Party.
I think, honestly, if you're DeSantis in this situation, it's like it's so rare that a liberal politician will actually agree to a debate. You know, I mean, you need
they won't on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to be prepared. You know, you need to get some notes together, you know, do your research before. But I think if you're DeSantis, you just have to accept the terms, you know, and unless it's something crazy, you know, like you have to stand on your head and spin around or something like that. But as long as it's reasonable and both parties agree to the same terms, I think if you're DeSantis, you just have to agree and go for it because it's a great opportunity. He's struggling right now in the primary, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of his messaging, in terms of what kind of lane he's going to fit into in the primary. In the GOP, I think this is a huge opportunity for him, and he just has to say yes. That's my opinion.
Yep, I agree with you. Generation Z's view of America. I threw this section in here because I want to kind of get your take on it. You're not Generation Z. How old are you?
I'm a millennial.
Yeah, okay, so you're the next.
I'm turning 31 on Saturday.
You're the next demographic up. But Generation Z is the future of our country. 68 million Americans who were born between the years of 1997 and 2012, they are now between the ages of 9 and 24. And it's scary, Kurt, and it shows that the investment Democrats made in indoctrinating kids at a very early age is paying off. Record low patriotism among these people. They are not patriotic. they don't know what they would be fighting for. And if you want to see an example of that, look at the U.S. women's soccer team that just got defeated overseas, you know, because they wouldn't even stand for the anthem. There are people on that team, and you've got a picture of one of them there. What is that, Megan Rapinoe or whatever her name is? She is on the record saying that boys ought to be able to play on their team, that biological males should be able to play. And they got their ass kicked so bad, you know, this time around, that maybe they want to have biological males next time.
Yeah, well, they also famously a few years ago got beat by a 15-year-old boys team. So
yeah, not a lot of coverage on that.
But here's, you know, I thought you were mentioning kind of the lack of patriotism, and I do think that this is these ladies and this one woman, Megan in particular, are a really good example.
Nice shade of blue hair.
It's always changing. It's pink. It's blue. It's purple. It's whatever.
Yeah.
But this is her immediately after they lost the game. So they're in the Women's World Cup, which probably most people listening didn't even know was happening because nobody cares. And they lost the game to Sweden or something like that in a shootout. She missed her shot. And this is her interview after the game.
Is there a memory that stands out to you right now in this moment? I mean, probably equal pay chance after the final. And I think, you know, they're saying equal pay, but could have been saying a lot of things. I think this team has always fought for so much more, and that's been the most rewarding part for me, of course, playing in World Cups and winning championships and doing all that. But, you know, to know that we've used our really special talent to do something, you know, that's really like changed the world forever. I think that means the most to me. And, you know, the players in this locker room here, they're just getting started. And, you know, to all the players that I've played with, obviously, you know, who know what it's like to be in the grind. That's the best part.
They're advocates. They're political advocates.
Exactly.
First and foremost against their country,
right?
Against the country that they represent on the global, on the world stage of sport. They are, before she's a soccer player, the question was, what's your favorite memory being a player on the U.S. women's national team? And her first answer is political activism against my country.
Well, and 4 years ago, to your point, nobody cares about this. 4 years ago, we did care about it. And I've said on my show on KFKF that I'm not a soccer fan. I don't get it. It looks like a gym activity. But when the United States is on the world stage and we're good, I'm behind them, right? Everybody was behind them. That was 4 years ago. And in the intervening years, you know, they did all this crap that you're talking about. And then they decided they were going to pull a Colin Kaepernick on the national anthem. So this morning when I poked a little fun at him on my show, I ended the bit with the national anthem, you know, just to irritate them, just because I can. Because they've got a First Amendment right to say whatever they want to say. I got a First Amendment right to say whatever I want to say.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Nobody got hurt.
Absolutely.
All right. So back to the Gen Zs again. It is Gen Z, right?
Yep.
All right. They don't view capitalism in a positive light. They appear to embrace high taxes and a large government-provided welfare system. The Democrats are achieving their goals. It starts in schools, K through 12. And, Kurt, if we don't get a handle on this, and, you know, I sound like that guy, you know, it's like, oh, it's the end of the world as we know it. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. But if we don't get a handle on this, America's best days are behind her.
Yeah.
Because if we don't believe in things, if we don't believe in capitalism, if we want this large government entity out there to dole out money to you and you. Oh, by the way, only if you follow the rules. Man, if your school has an archery or hunting program, you'll get no money. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
And
that was a pretty crazy story. And I think you're absolutely right in your prognosis here. I mean, that a lot of young people don't care about America. They want free stuff. They're very anti-patriotic. They're, you know, borderline socialist. They're pro-choice, pro-LGBT, all that stuff. But I think there is some silver lining. A lot of the stuff that you're talking about, I think, can be laid on the millennials, which is my generation, because we're actually getting old enough now, or are old enough now, where we can, it's starting to show fruit in society. You know, we have jobs, we have families, we're in positions of leadership, things like that. But there is some encouraging data on Gen Z as well, which is the generation below me, about, you know, how they're kind of more conservative. There was a poll that kind of went viral recently. University of Michigan did the study, I believe, and it shows that the political identities of 12th grade boys, that vastly more 12th grade boys now are identifying as conservative than liberal, according to this study. Might be a small sample size, but this was as of like this year, I believe, or last year. So you can see the gap here, you know, conservative identifying males in 12th grade up towards 25%, liberal identifying males in 12th grade down below 15%. Yeah. So let's hope that that trend continues. I think a big part of it too is like counterculture, if you want to think about it that way, or like rebelling against your parents. That's something that every kid does, right? Every kid to some degree wants to rebel against their parents. If their parents are conservative, they want to be liberal. And I think now, like, the Gen X and the millennials are the ones having the kids, and those two generations are like the super liberal generations. Yeah. That those are the my age up to the, you know, 50 year olds or whatever, and they're the ones enacting all of these liberal policies. And I think a lot of young people, like in high school, are kind of rebelling against that now. And, you know, maybe that generation will turn out to be more conservative. Again, just trying to look at the silver lining here.
I get you. Well, we had some great kids on with us live at Funhouse Pizza back. You might go back and listen to that episode again or watch that episode again. And if my stepson is any indication, he's going into high school now. He's very smart, and he follows all this stuff. And he comes to me when I'm watching stuff on TV, and he goes, I just don't get it. He's got a bullshit detector. Mm-hmm. And that's what America needs to grow again, is our bullshit detector, because there's plenty of it out there.
Yeah, common sense is at a deficit for sure.
All right. A guy who's got a lot of common sense, and he will be getting a call from me soon about that freshman in high school, because he's now 15, going to be getting his learner's permit.
Hey-o.
He'll be driving soon, and you can bet that's a conversation I'll have with Bob Watson. He's my State Farm agent, and he's ready to take your call if you want to get a quote. Surprisingly great rates at State Farm these days. And Bob Watson's been around for a very long time. 5 decades serving Eastern Jackson County, soon to be serving Truman County when we get that done. 816-229-7878. Auto, home, life, commercial insurance. He'll insure your boat. If there's an insurance need, Bob Watson can get you a quote for it, and you probably need it. You need insurance for the things you don't see coming at you. Licensed in Missouri and Kansas, call Bob Watson, a strong supporter of Dale Carter's America. We leave you with this. I just saw an article on this that someone who used to be on Kamala Harris's staff says the reason that she gets so much grief and flack is because she's black. Mm. Yeah. I don't agree with that.
Go figure.
Because I know a lot of very smart black people, people who are a lot smarter than I am. Condoleezza Rice is probably one of the smartest people on this planet. She doesn't get flack because she's black. She gets flack because she's stupid. Just ask the Mongolian prime minister about it, because they were at a deal, and it was one of those word salad things that Kamala Harris has become famous for.
In particular, we will discuss the work that we will do together to strengthen our space cooperation. You and I spoke briefly about the beginning of the next era, and for you, what that means in terms of your leadership and your vision for the future. And certainly strengthening our space cooperation would be a part of that agenda, including, of course, using our space cooperation to think about how we strengthen the economic prosperity and development of our nation.
So three times in a 30-second bite, she got in the same phrase. Now, I don't know if, because sometimes when somebody speaks a different language than me, Kurt, I fall into that American trap. I speak slowly.
Go like, space!
And I repeat myself over and over. So maybe that's what she was doing with the Mongolian prime minister. I will say this as we leave you this week. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden's insurance policy against impeachment. Until we gather again next week, this is Dale Carter's America.
The views expressed on Dale Carter's America are Dale's and Kurt Wheeler's. They do not necessarily reflect the views of KFKF or Steel City Media. Comments can be sent to DaleCartersAmerica@gmail.com. Check back for weekly episodes. Subscribe, spread the word, and give us a 5-star review. Thanks for being a part of Dale Carter's America.